Hello, and welcome to Teen Scientist. I'm your host, Abigail Wood, and doing our audio engineering today is James Zipperot. Here on Teen Scientist, I bring you stories of groundbreaking innovation in the STEAM disciplines entirely from a youth perspective. We feature young researchers and respected experts in their fields at the local, national, and international levels. Today, we have a special guest, Megan Liskowski, Transportation and Education Advocate for FEET-PA. Megan leads efforts to provide access to transport through electric bike programs and also works on education outreach to engage communities. We'll talk about her path in this work, the science and technology behind sustainable transport, community impact, and how teens like you can get involved. So let's get started. Megan, thank you so much for joining us. To begin, could you tell us a little bit about your journey, what you got interested in, and kind of what sparked this for you?
Hi, thank you for having me. So yes, I am Megan Lysowski. I'm the executive director of FEET, which stands for Fostering Equitable Access to Transportation. So I am transitioning out of a career as an elementary school teacher. I love learning. I love kids. But when you put them together, it's not always my favorite. Something I really did enjoy when I was student teaching was during Earth Week, which I put into Earth Month, was talking to kids about different ways that they could use transportation to get around and the ways that it was environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
And that also helped me think about ways that I had been getting around in different cities I had lived in. And I always enjoyed any time I did not have to drive somewhere and be in a car. So whether that was walking, using transit, bikes, and then later it transitioned into e-bikes was something that I always enjoyed doing. And I found that an e-bike is a great way for someone who maybe doesn't have a lot of resources or they don't have a license. They're able to be able to get from place to place in an environmentally friendly way.
Yeah, and especially in the city, driving, I know a lot of people would prefer not to. And finding these ways that are also eco-friendly, which is so important as we develop, is quite fascinating. Was there a specific moment, I know, like you said, you're transitioning now, that kind of really sparked you into like, this is what I want to do. I want to advocate for this. I want to help this cause? Like, was there a moment or kind of what really led you to do this transition?
I don't know if this was the moment, but it was a moment that was really eye-opening. I was at a professional development workshop for a preschool that I was going to teach at in the fall. And as part of the professional development series, they brought in an advocate for early education and specifically for pre-K counts. And so she asked, has anyone in the room ever contacted a government official or done any advocacy? And I raised my hand thinking, you know, other people are going to do that too. And I was the only one in the room of about 200 other teachers that raised their hand.
Oh,
They brought
wow.
the microphone over to me and they said, can you share your story? And I was like, oh, it wasn't about education. It was about transportation. I think that we should, you know, put more funding into our public transportation system. And there was a bill a couple weeks ago. And they said, oh, okay. And I feel like that moment, I was like, oh, my interest, what I'm doing is not normal compared to, you know,
everyone else.
Right. What I think of as like, oh yeah, people love going to city council meetings, being like, no, that it's a unique skill and interest and hobby that I have.
People email all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I feel like is so important. And I feel like so many teens are going through that, like kind of figuring out. And I think it's super interesting what you do. So could you explain to me what you necessarily advocate for? I know you mentioned e-bikes. Like, what specifically are so special about those?
Yeah. So in the state of Pennsylvania, there's a very specific definition of what an e-bike is. So often if you see something with a battery or a motor and pedals, you think, oh, it's an e-bike. But it really needs to follow three main criteria. And the way I like to think about it is three numbers, 20, 100, and 750. So 20, if you see a bike and it's going on a flat road and you look at it and you think, I think that's going over 20 miles per hour. It's probably not an e-bike. Because with an e-bike, the motor shuts off. Once you reach 20, you can't go any faster with the motor. Now, if you're going downhill, that's another story. But in Pennsylvania, if you're going over 20, then you're in a different category of things. You need a license for that. The second number, 100, it can't weigh over 100 pounds. If you see someone on something that looks massive, it still has pedals, that's probably a motor scooter or a glorified motorcycle, and you need a license for that. And if the motor is really big, this one's harder to see. If it's over 750 watts, then it's not an e-bike. So if you're looking at buying an e-bike and you're not sure if it's going to be street legal, you need to think, all right, does it go over 20 miles per hour? No. All right, you're good. Does it weigh over 100 pounds? No, it weighs 55 pounds. Great. Does the watt, which it'll say in the specs, is it over 750? No, it's 350. Great. Then you're on an e-bike. Another specific thing with e-bikes is you have to be 16 or older to ride them.
Got it.
So that is specifically what an e-bike is. Whenever I speak about it, that's
And
the term that I'm using.
I feel like so there's so many different types of, like you said, bikes, technologies, almost motorcycles. So with e-bikes, you mentioned you don't need a license, right? So to have an e-bike, what are your kind of requirements? Just to be over 16?
Right, just to be over 16, and you can ride it the same way that you would a car. You follow the rules of the road when you're on the road. You can ride it on a sidewalk, except for in commercial business districts,
Yeah.
which isn't labeled anywhere. But if you think about like Main Street in Bethlehem or somewhere that's downtown and there are a lot of pedestrians, you're not allowed on the sidewalk. But otherwise, you can use it that way.
Well, now that we have a sense of kind of how you got started, let's dig a little deeper into the work you're doing now and the science behind it. At FEPA, you focus on providing access to electric bikes to lower-income individuals and building infrastructures and outreach. Could you explain how the science and technology of electric bikes and sustainable transportation systems come into play into your work?
So I think something great about an e-bike is because it's so small and easy to get around with, and it's just way cheaper than a car. It's a great access point for people who may not have a lot of income. So say you have a car already, someone may be gifted to you, it was handed down. There's the additional maintenance that's involved. With an e-bike, you'll have additional maintenance, but it's never going to reach fees like replacing your brakes in your car, which can cost upwards of $400 or something.
Or paying insurance, or yeah,
Right. No insurance premiums, no monthly payments.
Nope.
I feel like I'm on a commercial now.
This is why you should buy your e-bike. Yeah, but it makes sense, especially in a city.
And so our e-bike donation program works a little bit like this. We have an application online. You fill it out. You tell us the things that we need to know about. Do you need a helmet? Do you need a lock? What are things that you don't have that you're missing that we can provide? There is a way that we can take an existing bike and convert it into a street legal e-bike. And also within our application, we'll ask you to tell us your story about what issues you're having with transportation. So our next part of that is, are you able to take classes in Bethlehem? So we partner with the Coalition for Appropriate Transportation, and all of our recipients, they get the bike, it's theirs, and they are asked to work with CAT and take one of their classes so that way they have the bike safety skills. It's not everyone knows and feels comfortable to ride a bike on
Yeah.
our streets. That leads into advocacy. So we don't have many bike lanes here in the Lehigh Valley. We have the South Bethlehem Greenway, which is a great mixed-use off-road path. We have the D&L Canal, another great mixed-use off-road path. But those can only get you so far. You're going to have to get onto a street at some point. Some policy that we're hoping for to change at the state level is the parking protected bike lanes. It's called HB 291. It's Susan and Emily law. So with a parking protected bike lane, there's the sidewalk, a bike lane, and then street parking. The cars parked there act as a protected barrier, so that way the person who's riding the bike lane isn't directly next to traffic. It is something that we are also working with another organization called the PA Safe Roads PAC, and they've been really great at championing this legislation for the past couple of years.
That's so, I feel like I've never really thought about having it on the other side. And it's honestly, that's super, I feel like almost important for safety. But I know you mentioned the policies. From a system perspective, what needs to be in place for these programs to succeed besides the policies that you're looking to get? Funding, community partnerships, and the infrastructure. How does all that look like?
So for us to be able to give bikes to our applicants, we need funding. So we have applied for a grant with the City of Bethlehem under their Community Recovery Act, and that's a great example of how the city acts as a partner. We haven't yet heard back on the grant, but funding comes in all sources: grants, just direct donations, people volunteering their time. So even though we are a nonprofit, we do need money to be able to do the good work.
So, one of the PA statements says providing access to electric bikes for lower income individuals fosters independence, enhances opportunities for economic advancement, and promotes environmental sustainability. Could you unpack each of these three facets, independence, economic opportunity, and environmental sustainability, and share maybe a story of someone whose life has changed through this program?
Yeah. So independence, with a lot of low income people are in our area, they rely on public transit, Lanta, Lehigh, and Northampton Transit Authority or Agency. I love Lanta. Part of the reason that I agreed to move here was because we have a public transit system, but it is not as robust as it needs to be. So, say you want to get somewhere 2 miles away. Okay, there's a bus line that runs on it, but you're at the will of the schedule that often only runs once an hour. So part of the independence with an e-bike is you need to get somewhere 2 miles away. You can leave on your own time. Another part of it is with the skills that you learn at CAT, the Coalition for Appropriate Transportation, you know how to fit the mechanics of your bike. So you'll know how to fix the brakes. You'll know how to do those things. And being able to fix things yourself, that's a part that you can do independently. Economic opportunity, again, most of the times when we're thinking about trying to help people, it's trying to help them so that they can get to where they need to go. And often that is work. If you don't have to worry about bus fare, about Uber, a lot of people that we talk to are using Uber because of the faults that happen with our public transit system. That's additional money that they can spend elsewhere. And environmental sustainability, if you're not using public transit, you're not using Ubers, or you're not borrowing rides, it is a way that you get cars off the road, less cars on the road, less emissions, and it's just healthier for the environment to have someone around on their bike as opposed to in a vehicle.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what makes e-bikes, I feel like, is they're so, which is the point with them, but they're so much faster. And I think that's what draws people to them, I feel like, when you kind of have more of a, like, you can't have a car, but it's more of a reliable transportation. So we're going to take a short break. I'm Abigail Wood here with Megan Lysowski, and this is Teen Scientist.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Teen Scientist. I'm your host, Abigail Wood, here with Megan Lisowski. Megan, part of your work involves education and outreach. Can you tell us about how you engage with schools, youth, and community groups to introduce the ideas of transportation?
Yes, so we work primarily with community groups. More so, our focus is on an older adult population, primarily in part because with an e-bike, you have to be 16 or older. But some of the organizations we've worked with are the Lodge. They also operate Cafe the Lodge in 4th Street down in Bethlehem. That was actually where our first recipient came from. We had contacted the director of the program and asked if anyone had a need for an e-bike for transportation, and he said, "I know just the person." Since then, that recipient, it's really changed the way that he gets across the valley, and he's able to get to his appointments on time better. Other ways that we engage, we do tabling events at events around the valley, to spread the word about our advocacy. Our social media is a great place to get involved. And in the spring, we're going to have more events put on by feet instead of us attending others' events.
Yeah, I know you've mentioned social media websites. Where can people find Feet? Could you give like a handle or something?
So the best place to go is feetpa.org. That's FEATPA.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at FeetPA, FEATPA.
Thank you. So, have you received any feedback? And if so, what surprised you from that and what they brought to the table from that?
So our program has been very small. We haven't had many opportunities for feedback, but any that we get, we're happy to take and work on.
Yeah. So, with that, kind of switching, looking ahead, what emerging trends or technologies in transportation do you believe will matter most over the next 5, 10 years?
So a technology that I would that exists now and I think can be implemented a lot more in the coming future, it also relates to policy, is the local use of radar for municipal police officers in Pennsylvania. Right now, Pennsylvania is number three in speeding related fatalities. So when you think about transportation, it's often dangerous and scary because people are driving so fast. And we have the technology to use it, radar and LIDAR. Our state police use it, other states use it, but for some reason, we in Pennsylvania, our municipal cops aren't allowed to use this technology. So, a way that no matter what is going to be on the road, whether it's an electric vehicle, it's gas powered, if we don't have the tools in place to be able to regulate the speed that those vehicles are going at, we're not going to be able to have a safe system for everyone who's on the road.
Yeah. So what kind of are the steps to go about that since PA does not have that system?
So right now there is a bill in the House Transportation Committee of Pennsylvania called the HB House Bill 1955. It's been through in the House and in the Senate before, and then it always just kind of loses a little steam, but it is back in there. If you want to see police use modern technology that can help make our streets safer, you can email your local House representatives for the PA state. And the bill is there, it just needs to pass, and then they can pick up the tools that they need.
And then safer roads.
Yeah, for
So
everybody.
at FEPA, how do you anticipate the evolving or adapting to these trends, say if the bill passed?
I would be very happy. I would also be happy to work with any police departments about e-bike education. There is a PA micromobility fact sheet that local police use, and I usually carry it with me that kind of differentiates the different things between electric scooter, motorized pedal cycle, a motor scooter, and an e-bike, so that as we have radar and we're making our streets safer for vehicles that are going too fast, we also have informed enforcement that knows what is legal, who's supposed to be on these types of vehicles. Like a scooter, you have to be 16 or older to use it.
Just kind of trying to, since we're evolving as a world, every like educating and kind of getting them involved, and then it's all safe and under regulation. So for our teens tuning in, if a high school student wants to get involved in this kind of work, whether in transportation advocacy, community science, sustainable mobility, what advice would you give them? How can they build their skills, find opportunities, and make impact?
The first question I would ask is, what are your interests? So I'm interested in advocacy, and my partners over at Feet, one is an e-bike battery manufacturer and one is an e-bike mechanic. So we all work together, but my skills are more in talking to people, thinking about policy, whereas their skills are engineering, actually, how do you put the cells together to create a battery? And the other is, how do you put the mechanics of the bike together to keep this e-bike working? So if you're interested in engineering, I'd recommend that you look up Bethlehem e-bike. You can volunteer there. That is where you can learn the electrical components about how e-bikes function. You could volunteer at CAT, Coalition for Appropriate Transportation, and you'll learn how to work on the mechanical part of a bicycle. You could also order your own e-bike kit and go to Bridgeworks in Allentown, and they could help you build that kit. So you have a regular old bike and you could put a motor on it and learn. So from the engineering perspective, if that is what you're interested in, that's a great place to start. If you're interested in advocacy, the biggest piece of advice I can give to you is learn. Learn about what your city, your borough, your town, wherever you live, are there policies within your city or town's code that could be changed? If they are, what could you do to change them? Can you join community meetings? There's so much information out there about transportation that affects you and where you live, and you can get involved with it. I would recommend looking at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, LVPC transportation meetings. There is a meeting coming up in Bethlehem about the Complete Streets and Broad Street bike lane project that's coming up. That's on November 19th. And just follow your curiosity. If you have a question about something, try to answer it. Try to find someone in your community that you think might have some expertise on it. I think the best thing that you can do while you're young, not speaking like someone old and wise, like 29, but is to talk to people, meet people, see what their experiences have been like, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. I've went and I tried to learn how to work on my bike, and it's just I learned it's not for me. It's not what I want to do. So I'm happy to take it to a bike shop and
Have
help
them do
the
it.
economy that way.
I think it's so interesting that with a program, there's so many different types of science or so many different types of things, like you said, to do depending on your interest and depending on maybe not just your interest, but where your skills and assets lie. You mentioned the program a couple times where you can take a ordinary bike and make it an e-bike. Could you expand on that and kind of what that program consists of?
So that's not a particular program that we have. It is something that my partner, Chris Briggs of Bethlehem E-Bike, he is able to do to a bike. We've talked about having people come in and build their own bike, and that's a program that we might do down the line. Like you bring your own bike, you put the kit, and they really learn how to do that, but that's not something in our purview at the moment.
That's very interesting, though, that you can take a regular bike like your colleague is doing and make it an e-bike because then you're saving so I feel like so many resources by using an old bike. Kind of focusing again on teens, what mindset or habits do you believe set someone up to make a difference in a field like this?
I think having an open mind and a growth mindset is always important. And not anticipating roadblocks, but being open to things aren't always going to work out the way that you want. We knew that there was this need out there, and we had a little bit of trouble in the beginning trying to find someone who would be our first test case who would take us on. And it took quite a few we reached out to quite a few organizations before we got someone who said, yeah, I know that
Yeah.
this could benefit someone, and here he is. And now from there we've been able to build on that. So just, I mean, it's the teacher in me, but never give up.
The perseverance.
Yeah, persevere, always keep learning. The things that your teachers are telling you, they really do come in handy in the real world.
And I, especially of what you shared with your journey and really realizing what you've kind of are passionate about, and it's not normal, but to get to where you are and where feet is today, I feel like the perseverance, and you guys still are persevering, trying to still get out there, trying to really make a difference, especially in our world today, is very difficult. And you guys have done such an incredible job. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your stories, and your insights. Before you close, do you have any final thoughts or messages you would like to share that we didn't quite cover so far?
I think the last thing I would like to close with is if you're interested in advocacy or getting involved with engineering, just reach out to me, feetpa@gmail.com, feetpa@gmail.com. We're happy to help you with volunteer hours and any skills and assets that you can bring. We'll try to help and build on that.
Well, thank you so much, and FeetPA for joining us. If you're a teen interested in transportation, sustainability, or community science, I hope this conversation sparked some ideas for you, and maybe you'll see yourself at FeetPA. I'm Abby Wood, and this is Teen Scientist.